This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, we are joined by Beverly B, label owner and designer of the proudly Johorean label, Bev C.
Actually, I don't favor male and female when it comes to fashion. I'm much more interested in everything that happened in between.
After that, BFMer Othniel Ting and Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, shines the spotlight on this week's menswear trend, tour merch.
From the looks of it, if you look at it from far, you wouldn't even know that it's a tour merch. You would think that it's a...
just a normal collection.
Yeah, just a normal collection. So I think the way they designed it have changed a bit to maybe give it a more lasting effect.
But first up, here's our fashion headlines of the week. Fashion Bible Vogue has published their inaugural Hong Kong issue on the 3rd of March. Now their debut cover features three covers graced by models Sun Feifei and Gigi Hadid, where the models each take a solo spot before appearing together on the third and final version. Both models were also wearing Chanel Haute Couture from Karl Lagerfeld's last collection before his untimely passing. According to Vogue Hong Kong, they wanted the cover to do something that represented Hong Kong, reflecting the country's mix of East and West. But they have received some heated backlash on social media over Gigi Hadid's appearance on the cover, causing Vogue Hong Kong to take down the American supermodel solo cover picture from Instagram. Hadid was previously accused of racism against Chinese people back in 2017 when there was a short video showing her mimicking Chinese eyes, causing her to drop out of Victoria's Secret's fashion show in Shanghai when Chinese fans flooded social media with their disapproval of Gigi Hadid. In other news, Japanese clothing company Uniqlo has debuted their third season with British designer Jonathan Anderson for his brand JW Anderson, keeping the collaborations rolling after other fan favorite releases like the recent Alexander Wang collection. Uniqlo has successfully carved a unique positioning for the company with their curated choice of collaborations that taps into areas of pop culture, high fashion, and even niche interest while being accessible to all. When asked about balancing Uniqlo's DNA with his own for the third JW Anderson collection, the designer stated that the collaboration is a beautiful marriage of concepts where the two brands aimed for the same goal of having garments that are functional and beautifully designed. For the third round of this collaboration, the designer paid homage to his family with a variety of fashionable items ranging from paisley blouses, bomber jackets, and even rugby shirts, referencing the life of his father, who was a rugby player from Ireland in the 80s. The collection for men and women also features reversible outerwear, nautical-inspired striped t-shirts, and accessories like bucket hats, duffel bags, and reversible tote bags. That wraps out this week's fashion headlines, and now it's time for a style maker of the week, Beverly B from Bev C. In pursuit of upholding individuality and owning your own personal style, Bev C was founded in 2013 to enable customers to seek their own style rather than follow trends. The clothing label doubles as a cafe and multi-label store that supports local designers while also producing their very own collection, designing their pieces from the sketching to the creation, material selection, and finally completing the final design. Co-founder Beverly B joins me on the show to share more about the journey of Bev C. Now, first things first, could you tell me how you got into fashion designing and why did you decide to start your own label?
Okay, actually, mainly due to the high interest and passion in fashion. Actually, I have been in fashion industry for more than 10 years. So, started off from a very small lot in Little Red House to the girl next door shop. Oh, actually, they sell selling vintage clothing and some accessories. And now to my very own clothing label, come to a cafe. And it doesn't come easy. However, with the continuous drive and desire to achieve my dream, everything seems like possible.
Now, I'm assuming you're averse to the idea of people following trends, you know, and would you rather them wear what they want, or why do you think that trends are a problem these days?
I believe that fashion should be created to suit a style. So everyone actually has their own personality, attitude and style that suit them. So for me, different styles suit different people. So I think people need to show their personality and attitude, not only their only outfit. So like our motto, like our Pepsi motto, like that. So own your style or stay naked. I think life is so boring, so why not do something different? Like the most important thing, I think, find your hobby and passion, then you will live life more meaningful. Yeah.
Now let's talk more about your designs. Could you walk me through your designs? You know, what's your creative vision behind them?
Okay. I'm a vintage lover, so I love vintage stuff because classics never dies. So I get my fashion inspiration from all the history, all kinds of history, ranging for idol, icon, music, or movie. So my design are inspired by the piece and a piece of in life. Life itself is the bigger inspiration in designing each collection, particularly history or classic movie collector, music and traveling. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my presence and visuals inspiration come through overseeing the people and the surrounding that happen in the world, the real world right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is interesting because, you know, as you mentioned earlier that, you know, you get your inspirations from films as well as music, right? So mm-hmm. could you go over some examples of, you know, you including elements from a mm-hmm. song, perhaps, or maybe artists or film into your designs?
Okay, actually, my design, yeah, actually, quite a lot of it comes from punk style.
Punk style?
Punk. My icon actually is a Patti Smith, like in Vivienne Westwood. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of punk and rebellious and doesn't afraid of expressing their true identity mm-hmm. than that. So then I feel very admire of this kind of person. So my inspire always like in come from music and movie. So especially Patti Smith and Vivienne Westwood.
I know that you have a few designs with the Pepsi logo printed on it, just with Bev C instead. Bev C obviously, you know, rhymes with Pepsi. So did you pick the name so you can pull off these designs, or, you know, was it a realization after you set it up the label?
Yeah, actually, it's a priority approach whereby we want to come up with something catchy and get back to our followers a little twist from our trademark design. Plus, actually, both of the brands seems to have a rhyme and sound the same with, like, when you say it, you pronounce, like, Pepsi, Pepsi. Mm. So So why not give it a go, and it turned out to be a successful one.
Right. So another one of your designs simply has the words Johor Bahru City printed on it. Now, does being based in Johor influence your creative choices regularly? And, you know, how different is the fashion scene in Johor compared to other parts in Malaysia?
Actually, yeah, I'm from JB, Johor Bahru. So I'm very proud I'm a Johorian. So fashion scene in JB, of course, if you want to compare with another country or another city, of course, JB will slower. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah, actually very hard for us. We doing the fashion and open the shop in Johor Bahru. Sometimes it's a very achievement and very hard for us. But I think it's a very good thing to see this because I opened the shop, it's already 5 years. I can see more a customer and Johorian become more fashionable, so I'm happy with it.
So apart from setting up your business in Johor, which you have been there for 5 years, right? Have you ever thought of, you know, expanding your business out of Johor?
I hope so, but the problem is that, you know, we need money. So looking for any person want to invest us.
Well, you also have a, like you mentioned, you know, you also have a shop in Japan. Which part of Japan and where about?
Harajuku, Japan. Actually, it's just a selected shop. So they're selling, I think, all kind of the designer from in everywhere, from all the world. Like, actually, it's our friend. It's my Japanese friend shop like that. A lot of young teenagers like our design. I'm very surprised of this. And I never have think about, okay, Japanese will like my design. Because I think a lot of Japan does a lot of new designer, very successful ones, so new and very signature designer or something like that. Mm. So yeah, I'm very surprising.
I've been speaking to Beverly B of Johor-based label Beth C. Right after this, we learn more about Beth C's designs that challenges gender norms. Stay tuned, you're listening to Starfile on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Starfile. Now, I've been speaking to Beverly B, co-founder of Johor-based fashion label and cafe Bev C, about her thought process behind some of the label's designs. Now, while your designs are very streetwear, you know, which is usually very casual, so you try and incorporate tuxedos and other large jackets into your outfits as well, which are usually associated with formal wear. So why did you decide to combine realms of casual fashion wear with formal wear?
Actually, I don't favor male and female when it comes to fashion. I'm much more interested in everything that happened in between. I like to question the fundamental of design and do something different of it. Mm-hmm. So some of our design come in the limited pieces. So with that, we don't want to limit our design or our sizing to only specific for our follower.
So throughout your collections, you really challenge gender norms by designing skirts for men and, you know, tux and suits for women. How do you think Malaysians, I would say, has reacted to this unconventional fashion style? And were you scared when you were debuting these designs to the public?
Yeah, like my slogan, my motto like that. So on your style thing, actually, I don't care about people like or don't like my design. So I just doing my what I love. I'm trying to educate my customer and maybe my friend around me. So maybe I just trying to do. Then I try. They can feel my passion. Then they will like my design. So I didn't expect them can accept me or accept my design or accept Pepsi. So this depends for them. Yeah.
Another recurring trend is that your designs seem to be oversized. Do you think this is an ongoing trend that you like to keep?
Actually, I love oversized. Oversized allow our customer, our follower, or for me also to mix and match my clothing. So with that, it's also allow them to express their own style with it. Mm-hmm. So we can mix and match what we want, what we want to wear, like that. And actually, one of the benefits for having oversized design or clothing, and it doesn't limit to only one gender to style or play with it.
I noticed the majority of your designs is monochrome, you know. Why did you choose to only use black and white, you know, instead of colorful palette?
So actually, I'm the very colorful person. But for me, black and white and gray is the basic color for us. Mm-hmm. So we don't mind to design or accept whatever color. So then we very like mix and match concept. So then the black and white and gray color is just our basic color. So we will try more and more colors. So mix with these three basic colors.
Right. So do you plan to, you know, play around with other colors for your future collections perhaps?
Yeah, before that we tried the pink. So pink.
How was it?
New color. Actually, for me, I'm not a very pinky person. But just one or two designs. So then I consider I will stick with the more color like red and blue, navy blue.
Now, apart from designing all your clothings and all, one of the side projects you have is Bev C Cafe, which is quite a rare thing for designers to venture into. Usually designers
is
would
it?
Just... Yeah, because usually designers just venture into designing clothings and, you know, making clothings, juggling designing and running a cafe is a big task. If you're a multitasker, no problem. But if you're not, that will be a big problem. So what was your inspiration for that? And how does that add to your brand?
Actually, when I opened Pepsi. So actually, the Pepsi Cafe is a surprise. Actually, I just have a corner, and I just want to ready a corner or in space for my customer chilling, like relax or something. Then, you know, now is the cafe hopping trend. So suddenly, a lot of people want to come at our cafe. So why not? I think then rather than begin just a fashion label, so then we think, okay, maybe Pepsi doubles up can become a cafe. Yeah, because it's a cafe hopping trend. So then we just want to providing a space for creativity to be expressed through the fashion design together with beverage and crafting. Yeah, we believe that and our customer will like our concept too. Luckily, I have a very strong team to they can help me to run the Pepsi Cafe business. Yeah.
Which is interesting because I know your Pepsi Cafe is more of a very artisanal and aesthetically pleasing. You also have a lot of black-coloured foods like bread and noodles, you know, much like how most your clothes are plain and black. Why do you choose to do this? Is the cafe a mirror to your clothing brand?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, we are doing the fashion thing, so I look to see everything in the beauty. Yeah, very pretty things or something like that. So then you can take a picture. Then, like our cafe also have a slogan and have a motto like that. So if we serve what we like to eat. So then when you come to our cafe, then when you eat everything, our food and beverage or something like that, it's all we love. So then we sell it to you. We hope you like it also.
And finally, you know, what do you hope for in the future for your brand?
So now it's the new year, 2019. So I hope Pepsi can be a part of KL Fashion Week light up.
That was Beverly B sharing with us the story behind her label, Pepsi. Coming up next, Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, and Othniel Ting will be discussing this week's menswear trend, tour merch. In the meantime, here's Phaser Days with Feeling Uneasy. You're listening to Style File with me, Adeline Chung, right here on BFM 89.9.
We'll be right back.
BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File, and it's time for this week's Style Shrink. Onyu Ting and Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, share with us all about the trend that merges music with fashion. Twer merge.
Do you guys enjoy going to concerts and buying the merchandises at the?
I don't really buy merchandises. Okay, like I bought one Radiohead. That's it.
Wow, Eddie.
I went for Radiohead tour once only. That's it.
Well, I wanted to get tour merch when I went for the Foo Fighters concert in Singapore last year, but the lines were just way too long, and I just wasn't up for it, you know.
Yeah. But I think besides the official one, normally the first thing that comes to mind would be those people that sell bootleg merch outside of the arena. And it's usually black colour, and the image is usually quite tacky. And like,
yeah, it's always black. Why do you think it's always black?
I think it's just cost efficient because it's easy to mass produce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and normally with those kind of tour merch, it normally end up becoming pyjamas in a matter of weeks.
Right? All right.
Yeah, but I feel a lot of has happened since then, and right now merchandises for artists these days, the rollout and design style of this merch have evolved to be more streetwear like, and we could arguably have Kanye West to blame for that. Let me take you guys back to 2016 when he did a pop-up store for his Life of Pablo tour merch. That happened before his sold-out tour, and he was selling his much-hyped-about merch at 21 different pop-up locations around the world, like London, Singapore, Australia, New York, to name a few. And he famously tweeted that the stores earned him 1 million in just 2 days.
In 2 days. That's so, quite a lot.
Yeah, I think Kanye West really changed the game for tour merch, where he made it into like a limited edition kind of a pop-up store streetwear kind of style. I would call this the Kanye effect. And after that, you could see like even Bieber doing the same thing with his successful merch, even teaming up with H&M at one point. Most recently, Travis Scott decided to team up with Dover Street Market to release his merch in line with his Astroworld tour that consists of hoodies, long sleeve t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts, and even a beanie. And I think in line with an increased appreciation for tour merch currently, vintage tour merch have been rising in value as well. One of the best examples I can give is the Elton John merch from 1992. You know, the one where Gianni Versace designed. Yeah, I think I recently saw one for sale about 250 ringgit. It's not
too bad.
Yeah, not too bad for a 27-year-old t-shirt, right?
Yeah, and it's vintage, right?
Yeah, and it's vintage and designed by the late Gianni Versace as well.
Right.
Yeah, so I think tour merch is the best way to show off your music taste without sharing your Spotify playlist with others. And nowadays in the streaming world, all these acts don't really rely on physical albums anymore to survive. Instead, they rely on touring and selling merch. So if you really want to support your favorite acts, I feel merch is the best way for your chunk of money to go directly to the artist as well, especially for the more independent acts.
I feel tour merch is pretty much more of a, I mean, heavily streetwear kind of outfit. But I mean, what are the tour merches like in terms of band or music, you know, the nice kind of tour merch? What would you recommend?
Okay, I think when we think of tour merch, it's always normal, typically it's always the same style, right?
You Nirvana. Know,
t-shirt.
You got like either the band name or the band, an image
album
of the
cover?
Band in front, and then you got the tour dates behind.
Yeah.
But I think nowadays they have changed a bit. Like if you see Travis Scott for his latest collab with DSM, it was just some words in front. I mean, from the looks of it, if you look at it from far, you wouldn't even know that it's a tour merch. You would think that it's a...
just a normal collection.
Yeah, just a normal collection. So I think the way they designed it have changed a bit to maybe give it a more lasting effect. You know, you could wear it all the time instead of having that those dates around.
Yeah, those dates make it look kind of cheap and tacky sometimes.
So what kinds of tour merch would you recommend in terms of designs?
In terms of designs...
what to look out for?
I would go for the ones without the dates behind. Mm-hmm. Although you could make it work as well, but I think it's tougher to wear it too often if you keep displaying the dates behind. I think you can really go the distance if you buy it a few sizes bigger, I guess. Then you can keep it at home for a collection as well.
Years, right?
You could even like frame it to like show your kids. I used to go to that concert. So it's more of a collectible as well. So I think go for the ones that you know, are a bit rare. Maybe if the artist has like a pop-up merch store, I think you should always go for that, because chances are they will only be selling that for that particular tour. And you could see like a one-off limited edition design, so I would go for those.
So Florence, are there any particular tour merch t-shirts that you would like to own?
I don't have any particular tour merch right now, but I actually really like Travis Scott's Astroworld hoodies, especially the tie-dye one, which is very in trend with the tie-dye, you know, style that's going on around. So, and it doesn't, like, you know, Ofnil mentioned, it doesn't look like tour merch at all. So it just looks like it could be any piece of a collection or any piece of your clothing that you could wear.
So how would you style it? I mean, it looks like, you know, it seems to be more of a streetwear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it more a casual kind for you?
Definitely more casual, something that, you know, I could wear, you know, with my bike shorts or like, you know, some pants or jeans, something that you could work into an everyday look.
So do you think this is a particular trend that, you know, you would really actually invest in it?
Only if I really like the artist.
Same, yeah. I mean, if I really paid so much money for the...
How much would you pay for a tour
match? For example, like, let's say, I think John Mayer will be coming... he won't be coming to Malaysia, but he'll be making stops in like Thailand and
Singapore.
Don't give
false hope to people.
Are you planning to buy John Mayer's tour merch?
John Mayer is known...
We're not judging.
John Mayer is known for very good tour merch.
Okay.
He is partnered with this small company in the States called Online Ceramics, if I'm not mistaken, and they do very small batch hand tie-dyed kind of stuff.
Oh, so that's cool.
I trust John Mayer's taste. So normally his tour merch really goes up in value because it's very personalized, and he's known for being very detailed about these kind of things.
Okay, so I never knew that, but now that I know, I actually look out for it when I'm dead.
John Mayer is one of the biggest Visvim collectors as well in the fashion world, so he knows his stuff.
Style.
How much would you actually invest in a tour merch?
That depends. I wouldn't go beyond 130
ringgit.
Yeah.
Very specific number.
Yeah, I know. 130.
140 seems a bit much. 120 seems a bit.
Not 150? You could have said below 150.
It's a really nice piece. 150.
If, yeah, maybe, maybe if it's a hoodie or long sleeve, then 150 is alright. But for a short sleeve t shirt, I mean, if I really love the artist, I want to support him, but 150 is a bit expensive. Lah.
And you, Florence?
If it's like a really cool limited edition kind of piece, which I really like, maybe about 150 to 200.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's collectible.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for you this episode. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can revisit this episode on our podcast by downloading it on our website, bfm.my, or on our free BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. Before I go, I'll be leaving you with a song from Travis Scott and SZA called Love Galore. You've been listening to Starfile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
For fun, don't take it personally. I'm surprised you call me after the things I said. Skirt, skirt on, skirt up on, skirt down. You acting like me, acting like we wasn't more than a summer fling. I said farewell, you took it well. Promise I won't cry over spilled milk. Give me a paper. Give me another value. Give me another hour or two. Hour with you. Why you bother me when you know you don't want me? Why you bother me when you know you got a woman? Why you hit me when you know better? Know you know better.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.